Good afternoon, you're on the air.
Top of the day to you again.
Yes, please.
And I need to ask your permission if I'm allowed to ask just one question.
Go ahead.
Right. Before I do, permit me to say good afternoon to Dame Billy, a lady I have worked under for 3 straight years when she was leader of another place. And I wish her well. Now, when one hears of BARP, the word discount has a different vocabulary. And it is that word that I want to dwell on. I am of the view, having done the research, such discounts are price inflationary. Two, the element of dual pricing, though well hidden, and it is difficult to detect its presence. And three, there's a commercial saying, there is no free lunch here. Or, you cannot get something from nothing. The point I am getting at is this. How can it be possible for any business to give discounts to a third party from a third company and expect that people will appreciate that there's no added price to the product or good?
So you want to get some response to that? Hello, Colin?
Hello?
Yes. We lost you there for a second. What is the main question that you want to ask?
The main question I am asking is this. People in Barbados have the mistaken belief that they can only get into bed with somebody if they think they're getting something from it. And I am making the point that giving discounts from third-party companies in the sense that the customer ends up paying more for the product, and therefore it is price inflationary. And I would like somebody from BARP to tell us how you can get a discount without increasing inflation, something that Dame Billy, for example, in a previous government was very concerned about.
All right, let's pause for response. His concern is the BART card gives a discount to somebody, therefore it's inflationary because somebody else got to pay more. That's his charge. How do y'all respond?
I missed quite a bit of his earlier. Mm-hmm. So the only thing that I would say is that BART membership is very happy about the discounts. Mm-hmm. And it's not only the big people. There are some small, you know, one-door shop operators who can't afford to buy into our scheme, and as soon as you come in and like me, if you have gray hair, they ask you straight off, BARP, warm bird, and they give it to you.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's one thing I can say. I go many, many places, there are lots and lots of BARP discounts. It is one of the few things you look forward to, again, a little bit more mature in the society. I could benefit from some myself. Let's take another call. Brastats, good afternoon, you're on the air? I think we got some issues there. We're going to come back to that. No, there's some other things I wanted to touch on from things y'all guys were talking about in terms of medication. This whole idea of stockpiling medication, and we want to talk about that. What's the best practice there? What should people do that have to get medication? Because people out there buying up certain things, but we want to give some good, solid advice to people out there listening right now.
Well, let the doctor answer that because we were discussing that in the lobby just now.
Okay.
That's a very good question, Corey. At this point, I'd like to interject that I do not represent the Ministry of Health, and I certainly can't speak on what the current policies are and suggestions to people. But I've been taking a lot of observation of what's been going on globally and how have some countries been responding to the crisis. And they have been advocating that the elderly in particular, in fact, the CDC is also recommending that the elderly does some amount of stockpiling. And the reason for that is one of the first lines of defense when the disease is widespread has been to tell the elderly to isolate themselves at home so as to not put themselves at risk. So in that sort of situation, it would be very important to have enough medication to last for a period of time. You may ask yourself, well, how long should I stockpile for? And I would say a good rule of thumb would be 2 to 3 months at a time.
Okay.
Well, if I may say, my oncologist writes me, I see him, well, I used to see him last year every 3 months, now this year, happily, every 6 months. And he writes me a prescription for that period of time.
Right.
So if you are seeing a doctor, in my opinion, you ought to take the guidance, the advice from the doctor as to how much he or she is willing to prescribe for you at one time.
Yeah. What I can say, Corey, is that is also a concern for a lot of our elderly beneficiaries who receive services from the social services. But we were discussing that at the meeting just now, but we are waiting for protocols and the processes and a response from the Ministry of Health as it relates to that. Because we would take guidance in this, we take guidance from the Ministry of Health.
Right. So I hope that when that decision is taken that we can communicate it, because I know that that's a question that quite a few seniors are asking about with reference to stockpiling medication.
And if I may interject here, a point to all listeners of Barbados, you know, we're talking about stockpiling of medication, but the reality is that people are stockpiling everything, in particular things like Lysol
toilet paper
and hand sanitizer and whatnot. One of the things that I think is important for us to understand, and I say to everyone, take a minute and let us as a community think a little bit about what we're doing and why we're doing some of the things that we're doing as a reaction. And I say to you that if you stockpile all the Lysol in your home, or you stockpile all the hand sanitizer in your home for yourself, and your neighbor has no access to Lysol or hand sanitizer, and other neighbors no longer have access, what happens is the rate of spread amongst those that don't have it increases tremendously. It means that the disease, if it does come in wide scale, will persist for a longer period of time on our shores. And it means that when you eventually run out of these stockpiles that you have, guess what's going to happen? So if we have to remember, you know, back in the day, and the older folk will understand this concept of sharing and being neighborly.
Yep. Yes.
And
I call it the we versus the me. You know the 30W outside the door.
Me. And that is very important that we reintroduce this sort of community thinking.
Yes, correct.
And I think we'll all come through this the better.
I feel that
among the older set.
I am too. This morning I shared wipes with my helper.
Excellent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What COVID is really doing is taking us back to where we used to be. Like simple hygiene, the sense of community, the sense of sharing and caring, the sense of protecting. Mm-hmm. So that's where it's taking us now. But at the end of this, at the end of COVID, we'll be a stronger and equal and a more resilient nation. But we have to get through this first.
Agree, definitely. I hope we could keep these sentiments and different protocols and procedures after. That's my thing, you know. It reminds me of Christmas, you know, everybody giving in loving spirit, and then it gone and it gone.
You have to come to bar, okay?
Give me another 20 years, don't worry.
In the Gap where I live, I got my phone call already early this week on Monday, calling everybody, and she wanted just to be sure, are you okay? Are you good? Mm-hmm. And we tend to do that. When there's a crisis, we gather.
The good old Barbadian way, the Bajan way.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the telephone lines. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air.
Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, please. Go ahead.
One quick question. I hear you talking about stockpiling of medication. Mm-hmm. Now, if a doctor writes a prescription.
Your line is bad. Are you on a cordless phone? Caller?
can't hear me.
All right, you could try again. If you're on a cordless phone, you need to go closer to the base. That usually gives some problems. Brass Stats, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Corey.
Hi, good afternoon, madam.
Good afternoon to your panelists. I don't know if this is with your panelists. It's about some eye drops, right? I went to a drugstore that is near in the country, specifically Market Hill. I usually bought it in town, right? And my eye drops is on the formery. I sent my son. I said it's better to buy it closer, only to find out when he come home that the price was so outrageous. I called the pharmacy and they told me that these eye drops are not on the formery, which is not true because I usually buy it in town. But this time when the doctor gave me the prescription, I decided, because my son sometimes make a fuss to go all the way in town, I decided to go Market Hill, which is nearer. And they told me that the eye drop Pharmacron and the next eye drops and some tablets is not on the farmers, is not on the formulary. And I want to know that if only these eye drops is only in the farmery in town and not in the country.
Yeah, there shouldn't be a distinction, but have you actually bought them already?
Yes, my son bought them, and I call and ask them back for my money, right? And yeah, they said that they were closing. He went to there but 4:30, and the time he came back was 4:45, and they said they closing just now. And I said, well, I'm not opening anything. Could I bring it back Monday? They said they will not take it because it's too long. And I said, but I'm not opening it. It's just in the packet as it is.
Ma'am, the caller would actually suggest that you take this up with your doctor. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we have a case where there's a what we call a generic medication versus a brand name medication. And it may be the case that the generic medication, which is the basic medication, may not be, it may be on the formulary, whereas the brand name one may not be.
I'm telling you, it's the same medication that I have, right? That the same prescription the doctor write, that is in tongue that you write that. Instead of going to town, I decided to go closer to home.
Okay. Yeah.
And they said that it's not in the form, which is not true, because when I'm going to ask the doctor to write back a prescription, and I will go into town, and they have it on the formulary, because I get it in a cheaper price in town.
Well, ma'am, what I would also encourage you, I don't very much will take it, ma'am, because it's medication. However, going forward, and this is not only for you but for all listeners, we have to understand that we have the power of purchase, and when in doubt, you just leave it. And if you know for sure you can get the item in Bridgetown, go to Bridgetown and get it. Once you can get it cheaper, go to Bridgetown and get it. Of course, at the same time, I'll say to you, if you went to Bridgetown and it was unavailable and it's indeed medicine that has been prescribed, then you close your eyes to the cost and get it because it's for your health. But if you know for sure that you can secure that medication in Bridgetown, the same medication cheaper, by all means, leave it out and go to Bridgetown. So you use what you have now, but going forward, this is a lesson for you and for all other persons.
Well, I had to use it because they said they're not taking it back Monday, so I had to use it.
Mm-hmm. Did I hear you say, ma'am, that it was on the drug formulary?
Yes, it is.
You need to report it. You need to report it.
Oh, I need to report it.
Yes. To drug service.
Yeah.
And let them deal with...
Who can I report it to, please?
The drug service.
Oh, okay. They have
because
a number?
Because the formulary...
Yes.
Once it's there, there should be no variation in price.
Right. Is that what I'm trying to say?
But you need to report it so that they know that there are people, well, at least one person out there.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, thanks a lot. Someone here is reassuring one of our callers. There are a number of suppliers here, but one in particular says the discount offered to BARP members is possible because of the volume generated through the membership of BARP who will patronize the business. So just reassuring one of the earlier callers that that is how the system is set up to work. Okay, this question here. Some of the elderly in our society do not have their old age pensions deposited to the bank or the credit union, but delivered by post. This will mean that such recipients would have to leave their homes to cash their checks and to transact their business. How best to deal with these situations?
A lot of old age pensioners go to the post office because this is still something that's done through the post office. In fact, a lot of things are now being done through the post office. If you don't want to wait in a long line in Chopay or wherever else, you can go to the post office and you pay all of your bills. Right.
And then we wanted the additional risk. Now, one of my WhatsAppers here was talking, you know, sometimes you have persons, they use a lot of the handrails, so they're touching a lot, yes. They got to be out. So on one hand, we're asking them to stay inside. The other hand, they have to go and transact business, and then they are heightened risk. What are some of the recommendations for those?
Well, this is where family members ought to come in. Mm-hmm. Because if you have a senior person and they need to go to conduct a transaction, they ought to trust somebody to do that, to complete that transaction for them. This is where trust will play a major role here. Because these persons should really be off the streets. So maybe the church, a church member, this is where the whole sense of community will come in.
Yes,
this is
the old-time Barbados.
Yes, looking the old-time Barbados will come back in because if it's somebody new, that person hardly would trust them. But if it's a family member or somebody from the church or somebody from within that respective community, they ought to be able to, you know, go and complete the transactions and be fair and be honest.
Be honest,
you know, to have thine own self be true. Be fair, be honest, and look after these seniors who have to be off the street. And, you know, that's all we can do. We can only ask people. It isn't something that can be legislated. We can only ask people to rekindle that sense of community and really and truly
natural humanity. These people look after us. We can look after
them.
It's our turn now.
I just want to reiterate that point that Marlon said about trust and the elderly, and that's going to be very, very critical because we don't want to have those gaps where we have make people more susceptible to elder abuse.
Yes.
And there will maybe people who would capitalize on a situation like this. And then we also have to realistically, there are going to be some elderly persons, unless it is legislated, who will insist, with the good best intentions possible, on leaving home and going about their business. There are those ones that will insist and that will persist. It's just, again, sensitizing the community to be aware of such persons and to look out for such persons. Because, okay, as it relates to home care service, yes, we'll be familiar with those persons who are most vulnerable, but there will be persons out there who are not benefiting from social services and are also at risk as well. But the element of trust, and this is where very much the church is going to have to play a role, very, very much, and all those community and faith-based organizations will have to play a role.
I would want to say, and you raise a very good point, and I think it's important that we get the message across that at this point in time, it's not being advocated that the elderly stay at home and isolate themselves away, because we're still at a phase where we don't really see any of the disease being prevalent amongst Barbados. Despite what some people may be whispering, it is really not prevalent in Barbados. We know we've got 2 confirmed cases, and that's all we believe we have. So we're not advocating, or it's not being advocated, that people stay out. The elderly stays, you know, shuts away at home at this point in time. And I'll go as far as to say that in the UK, currently, we're actually starting to see a rise in cases there. They're now trying to decide at which stage do they activate that plan where they'd say to the elderly to stay at home. Because when you ask the elderly to stay at home, there will come challenges from that. We don't know how long they're going to have to stay at home for, and you know that that's going to have various psychological effects on people who are isolated away from their loved ones and their relatives for over a long period of time. So similarly, our government, if it comes to that, may have to make those sort of considerations. And I'm sure that they're currently thinking of strategies which will help overcome some of these limitations and challenges that we may have in getting them services and supplies in the event that that is recommended. So we look to the government, we look to the Ministry of Health for them to advise us at which point is it necessary for the elderly to isolate themselves at home.
Like you see some of these feisty old people, women and men.
That's right.
You see them in the post office. The beauty of the post office is that they're seating.
That's right.
And sometimes the gentleman would offer a seat.
That's right.
And she, you know, there's this little old lady, she's there with a stick. No, thank you.
Belligerent.
But then in the post office too, everybody talks to everybody.
And for so long we've been pushing active aging and independence elderly and getting out and getting as independent as long as possible, and now we have the other. How do we is to bring a balance to it.
That's correct.
This balance is where, not, as I said, keep saying, not only community, but this is where radio will play a very important role. Radio will have to even rethink some of their programming, because if you are asking people to stay indoors, you have to present programs that would sort of link the community with the outside world. You know, like I say, I noticed in Italy where persons are going, you know, everybody has been there quarantined. So what they do, the musicians are going on the balconies and they're playing and they're singing songs from the balcony. So they're entertaining
other persons in the community.
Humans adapt. Yeah. That's what we do. That's how we survive as a species for so many thousands of years. We got to take a break, but I really want to support that point that you made, Madam President, because I know during the hurricane season and there's the shutdowns and so on, so many people call and thank the station after for walking them through, for coming in their house through the speakers, and they always talk about the warmth and so on. So I think that is something that the media, this station, of course, but the media right across the board, they would have to consider. 20 minutes before we strike up the band and head on home for this, the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. You're listening to the BART segment brought to you by the Barbados Association of Retired Persons. Okay, we're back on with this segment brought to you by the Barbados Association of Retired Persons, of course, addressing their membership and the wider community in face of COVID-19. So we want to talk about the support that you're having at this time. What kind of support your organization is having in terms of responding to this type of situation in Barbados?
Well, Corey, this program would not have been possible without the support of Lynch Insurance Brokers, Seven Seas Barbados, and their specific product, Halibut Orange, and of course, Urgent Care Mobile and BARP. We are presenting it. So the corporate support has been indeed been overwhelming, and there were other persons, you know, trying to get on board, but we told them just hold for a little while. So there's a high level of social corporate responsibility, and we want to applaud our sponsors for responding to our request. And also, while we are on that, I want to also note that with deep appreciation, we applaud Massey for the initiative taken. It started this morning this morning I went over to Worthing branch, where they are opening from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. for the elderly and for the differently abled. And BARP fully endorses this initiative. And this morning we went over to visit, and there were quite a few people. The people were there early this morning. So it gives the elderly the opportunity to shop without the hustle and bustle, and to practice, as Dr. Magic's and everybody's saying, social distancing, because the supermarket is big, but you had a lot of space, and they didn't have to worry about, you know, bumping into each other and all that. So again, BARP wants to applaud Massey for this initiative. And of course, Massey is one of our corporate sponsors as well. So,
As I say, never waste a good crisis. I think this can bring out the best in us. That's what I believe. I would like persons to note the number for BARP, and that's 538-2277. Simply because we're not going to be able to answer all the questions here, but I believe that you can use that number and also to help to channel things to the powers that be. There's a question that came in about a caretaker, and if someone had to go into isolation, who would pay the caretaker? And I remember the Prime Minister's interview. She was saying all the different things with the banks and the late fees and all these things will be considered and things will be put in place. How would they be put in place? The people would have to request or demand, and you can do that through your organization like BARP. I sure y'all will advocate on behalf of your membership. So that goes without saying. There's another thing to add to the advocacy here. This one says, the post office is not a viable option because unlike SurePay, they do not put the payments through right away. I've incurred late payment fees, especially on Digicel, even though I've paid a couple of days before the due date. Perhaps someone on your panel can address this. Thank you. Again, this is something that could be advocated for, that we get direct payments.
Know that it's been drawn to our attention. We don't have sufficient information to answer that. Mm-hmm. But what we will do, we will, inquire of the post office, and we would answer that query via our Facebook page. Good. So
excellent.
It will not, that question wouldn't go on deaf ears, but we prefer to have all the information at our fingertips prior to giving a response.
All right, 827, you heard that. Of course, if you're not on BARP Facebook page, you need to do so right now. Go over and like the page right now so that as the information come through, you'll be connected. We go back to the telephone lines. Good afternoon and welcome. Brass Stacks, you're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
I wanted to address 2 points that were made before the break. One was that the QEH has already made a decision as with respect to medication. And it's not a case where I think people are hoarding medication. The QEH basically had made a decision, I believe, to issue medication for, in some cases, 2 months to those coming into the pharmacy. In order, I believe, to respect the 6 week or the 6 to 8 week quarantine that would have been required to keep people at home and not have them coming back out on the street in 3 to 4 weeks to replenish the medication, so that it would make things easier for John Public. Those who would require medications to have access to medication and not have to come back out now that these 2 cases were revealed. So the QEH, in my opinion, acted very, very quickly. And as soon as that news broke, they made a decision to issue for what stocks were in supply, issue medication for 2 months to its patients. So I'm sorry that everyone was not aware that had happened.
Before you go any further, there's this comment I want to put to you and the panel. It says, hi, good afternoon. The doctor said it's best to stock up on medication for 2 to 3 months, but since the drug service allows for 30 days of medication, are you going to change that policy?
I think that's an excellent question. And I can't comment, unfortunately, on what the policy is of the Barbados Drug Service. So I hope maybe someone's listening, they can call in and update us. But I can assure you that it would be part of the Ministry of Health and Wellness consideration.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you very much.
And I want to also thank that caller for submitting the information with reference to QE, the Queen Elizabeth Hospital, because we were not aware. So now that we know, that is information that we can also share with our membership. So thank you very much, caller, for sharing that information with us.
Right. Now, with respect to the overstocking, people will remember that very early news of the outbreak was coming from foreign sources. The Ministry of Health and the government basically was silent on COVID itself. And what we should do. It was only perhaps within the last, I would say, 3 or 4 weeks, maybe a month, I would say, that the Ministry of Health and the GIS started issuing little bits of information as to what you should do to prepare. But prior to that, Bajans had started responding based on what other countries, people in China, people in America, people in the UK were doing, basically to prepare themselves for COVID. And what was coming out was things like how you should prepare, what you should buy. So when the cases started escalating, the panic buying had started at that case, at that stage. When the cases started revealing themselves closer into the Caribbean, it stepped up.
Mm-hmm.
At that stage, the ministry and the government, and I say the government, remained silent and still had not issued any formal statements to the people of Barbados as to how we should respond. People continued to rely on foreign information. WhatsApps were going all over the place, and I'm sure that if each of you or some of you would have access to WhatsApp, you would have been getting WhatsApps as well. That were, some of them were fake, some of them would have been reliable. You would have seen videos, and you would have been asking yourself, of how much of this information can I rely on? But you would have in the back of your mind been saying to yourself, with respect to the hygiene, with respect to if the fact that there are cases in Trinidad, St. Lucia, Jamaica, I would need to at least buy some personal hygiene items. There were videos on how you could make hand sanitizer, things like that. There was a certain degree of responsibility on the part of the large supermarkets in Barbados to restrict the amount, the quantities of items that people were buying as soon as they realized that the government started sending warnings or issuing concerns about panic buying. They did nothing. This is my personal opinion. So when people started buying 6 and 7 packs of 40-pack
toilet paper,
they should have done something.
You have raised some excellent points. I just thought I needed to interject here a little bit because I see Marilyn across the room squirming in her chair a little bit. And part of the reason for that is that she would have been on the People's Business up until recently, along with a panel which included Dr. Anton Best from the Ministry of Health and Wellness. And I thought that they did an excellent job in trying to sensitize Barbados a little bit about COVID-19 and what are some of the things that we should do. And they specifically addressed some of the issues as it relates to stockpiling of medications and whatnot. Now, I'm sure that in a lot of people's minds, that response in itself may have been a bit late.
Let me jump in there then, because in fairness to the Minister of Health, the acting Chief Medical Officer, right. Kenneth George, they were here a month ago.
Right, I was about to say.
That Sunday.
So information has been getting put out there. I think that as it has ramped up, you know, and it's normal, we start to pay a little bit closer attention to what's being said. But suffice to say, I think it's very important that we continue to get this information out there. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that any government or any ministry has to seriously consider, just like you, a lot of information about COVID-19 has been put out there from the time we started hearing about it widespread in China. And there's still a lot of uncertainty about what to do, how is it spread. And we're trying to, you know, you have to sift through that information to make sure that what you say is correct and accurate, because it's always changing. So remember that government and the ministry has a certain responsibility about the information that they put
but
up there as well.
But it is not only the government. You have to ensure that there is a certain level of responsibility that is placed on the shops, the supermarkets.
Of course.
Because how can certainly...
I agree with you, but in our...
The supermarket has to be able to look in someone's supermarket and say, okay, she is buying for a large family or she is hoarding. Anybody that walks out with six packs of Lysol...
Well, we see that Massey actually started to do something like that today.
Today.
But we had the Ministry of Commerce in here from 10 to 12. And what they're explaining is... Those things can only be enforced based on legislation.
Right.
If you don't have legislation, you can use moral suasion.
Yeah.
And if that doesn't work, then you...
Chamber of Commerce. Mm-hmm.
But in all defense, the Barbados Chamber of Commerce, they were on People's Business with us on Sunday night, and they addressed this same subject of hoarding. And I know that I was speaking to the executive director yesterday, and I know that they were in meetings, and I can't speak definitively, but I suspect that after these meetings they held over the last few days, that supermarkets are now placing restrictions in place. And restrictions, really, you know, you don't really want to go the way of route of restrictions,
exactly.
Because then people will start to say, you know, you're placing poor people at a disadvantage. You don't want people to do this and to do that. So, you know, in all fairness to all parties concerned, the major thrust right now is to get the information out there, get it out there. And ma'am, you seem like somebody who can be viewed as a center of influence. Use your center of influence to share that message, because we are all in this together.
Correct. I like this one. I need to read this one. It may be the last WhatsApp I'm able to read for today. It says, my cleaning lady just called and told me she'll be working from home.
Yeah.
She will send me the instructions on what to do. You know, I have to bring some levity to a situation like this.
Corey, I just want to make one last appeal to Bajans before we wrap this up. And firstly, I want to remind people to think very carefully about some of the practices that they're doing that are potentially putting everyone else at risk.
Correct.
I recently went to a bank, and there were a lot of people wearing gloves. Now, using those same gloves, they were touching everything in sight. They were including themselves, including their faces. And the consideration was that if I'm taking money, I'm handling a lot of money, I'm picking up the virus. But guess what? If you're picking up the virus and you're handing me, and I'm taking money from you, and you, it remains on these gloves.
Mm-hmm.
When I walked into the bank, no one offered me a pair of gloves. There were no other people in there with gloves. So guess what? You are taking the virus from one person who may have walked into the bank and passing it to all of your customers.
Mm-hmm.
They go home to people who are at home. They pass it to everyone else at home.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? There are no friends that work in the bank, don't they? They're bringing it right back to you.
Right.
We're all
in this together. We have to start thinking about why we're doing the things that we're doing. We can't wear gloves and be holding on to the cell phone and that sort of thing.
Yes.
Right. The message is, you do not need gloves. You need to practice good sanitary techniques. Wash your hands with soap and water. Sanitize your hands if you can't get to a tap. And make sure and disinfect all those surfaces that you're coming in contact with on a regular basis.